Bissett.
Thank you. Mr. Ward, Mr. Blanton.
May it please the court, I am Buddy Ward. I'm counsel for Mr. Bissett. Excuse me. Okay, Bissett stole a couple of trailer tongues. There was a great deal of discussion about how much it cost to make a new one, but that testimony came from Mr. Gill, who also said trailer tongues are unique. Her trailer tongues would not fit any other trailer. She could not sell them as trailer tongues. The value, essentially, is scrap value. That's all they could be used for. The one comment about their...
I'm not sure that's the analysis. If you look at Baylor, which was a catalytic converter case, mm-hmm. There was no market for used catalytic converters.
Right.
And we held in Baylor that the there are a number of ways to establish value, one of them being the actual value, where if you have a unique item, it may be the replacement value is the only way to establish actual value. If you have a one-off work of art that gets stolen and not recovered, then, determining the fair market value is going to require an expert, which is what you had here, who's going to basically testify to what they think the fair market value was of that unique item.
Okay,
it's not scrap value. This is my point. It may be scrap value in some circumstances, but it's not always the case, I guess.
Sure. Again, he didn't really talk about the value of those tongues. He said, this is what it would cost me to make new tongues. You didn't even say, this is what it would cost to make new tongues for her trailers. All he said was, if I sell tongues today, they're about $525 a piece. Steel costs this much, and so forth. And it's a varied value, or a changing value, I'll put it that way. There's an article recently, if you follow the economic markets, steel now costs about half of what it cost 5 years ago. So the price goes up and down, and you would almost have to have an expert in there to testify about that. There's another comparison I might make with you. Excuse me, and that would be clothing, which is actually the subject of the Robinson case. There the court said that he stole three suits from Hex, and they said that the price tags on the suits were admissible evidence as to their value at the time they were stolen, which is very reasonable. That's what the company was asking for them. But if he had stolen those three suits from a Goodwill store, which is where you get used clothing, they wouldn't have been worth anywhere near the value that Hex charged for the new suit. And that's the problem with clothing. Once it's used, the only place you buy it would be a thrift store, unless you're buying Marilyn's white dress or Dorothy's ruby slippers. These aren't ruby slippers. They're trailer tongues. There was no suggestion in any of the testimony that they were usable in any way, shape, or form. Mrs. Hickman did not even say that she was planning to use them. The triggers had been sitting there for 12 to 15 years. She did not once mention anything which suggested that she needed them. They just laid there gathering dirt and rust.
What do we do with the fact, however, that the victim and Gill both did say they had a value and it exceeded $200?
Yes. Ms. Hickman said, yes, they're worth $300 apiece. And my question was, I'm sorry.
What do we do with that testimony?
Well, look at my question, ma'am. You're basing this, and I quote, your opinion on their value on what it would cost you to replace them. Am I correct? Her answer, correct. Counsel for Commonwealth even included that in his brief. If she had lost the trailers, say to a tornado, again, counsel commented on that in his brief, she would have had two trailer tongues there. She couldn't do anything with them except sell them for scrap. Sorry, but that's what it is. If she had said, yes, I was planning to move and now I have to buy new tongues to move my trailers, might be a different matter, but that was not the testimony.
About Gill's testimony?
What about him, sir?
Well, I mean, he testified that, as you correctly pointed out, that these were unique items, and he testified the value was $525 each. So
well, he testified that if he made tongues that, you know, right at that time, he would sell them for that. He didn't say he never. There's no suggestion he went out and measured Ms. Hickman's trailers. He said that the tongue has to be based on the trailer, on its weight, its length, and so forth.
Well, I mean, at Baylor, we noted, and of course we reversed Baylor, because in Baylor, the stolen items were catalytic converters that, by federal law, have no cannot be resold.
Right.
They have no fair market value as used parts. And we reversed in Baylor because we said, while there's a number of ways to establish value, the Commonwealth didn't use any of them, one of which is an expert opinion who would explain where you have a unique item, can't be duplicated without remanufacturing it, basically, you know, making a new one. That might be an appropriate way to establish value, but you've got to establish all of those things. In Baylor, they didn't do it, and so we reversed. I guess my question is, doesn't this fill in the blanks there, where you've got an explanation by this witness, Mr. Gill, who says, who's established that there is no fair market value for these things because they are unique. They cannot be used on any other trailer. They're simply metal scrap in their current form if they're not used to pull this particular trailer. And to replace them, it's going to cost $525 a piece, you know. And so there you have an expert, you know, seems to me at least filling in some of the blanks that we talked about in Baylor.
Well, I suppose one could have argued in Baylor that the very metal of the catalytic converters could be sold as scrap. I don't know anything about catalytic converters. But we still keep coming back to the most fundamental concept of value for a larceny, and it is simply that it depends on what somebody would pay for those items, not the replacement value. The law is specific about that, but what would somebody pay for those tongues at the time they were stolen? Well, what would somebody pay? Nothing more than scrap value, I put it to you. Unless there happened to be a trailer out there that they just happened to fit, and there's certainly no evidence that there is, then that's the determining factor.
Well, nobody specifically testified, though, that they were just scrap value, did they?
No, I argued it. But
yes, you argued it.
Since my client
you
was...
You weren't a witness, though, so...
Well, no. But it's a pretty good argument. But since my client denied taking the tongues, I couldn't exactly bring in a guy who says, yeah, I bought these from him and paid him $60 a piece for them.
Well, we have two witnesses who basically give a number that's over $200. Your argument is that is insufficient because it relates to replacement value. But we also have an expert who explains how he arrived at that number, and it's a reasonable explanation. Your argument is that as a matter of law, only scrap value in these circumstances could ever be used. And I guess what I'm telling you is that's not what Baylor says, and Baylor's the controlling precedent out there, it seems to me, on this right now. Are you familiar with Baylor at all?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. In fact, I remember reading it. I don't remember whether I cited it to the trial judge or not. But again, I go back to Robinson, which cites supervisors versus Donatelli and Klein. And the quote is, the test is market value, and particularly retail value. Fair market value is the price property will bring when offered by when offered for sale by a seller who desires but not is obliged to sell, and bought by a buyer under no necessity of purchasing. Again, it's just not replacement value. It is fair market value. But there's an ad on TV, I'm sure we've all seen it, an insurance company, and the guy says, hey, I bought my van for $40,000. 2 months later, it was totaled. How could it lose $3,000 in value before its first oil change? People want to get paid for what they paid out. They don't want to lose money. Well, the answer is that's the insurance company's rule. And the insurance company says, this is our rule. You agree to it. You want full value, you got to pay more. Well, this is our rule. This is Virginia's rule. The price that somebody would pay for those tongues at the time they were stolen is what determines its value and whether it's a felony or a misdemeanor.
Ms. Swen?
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is John Blanton on behalf of the Commonwealth. And I would just like to open up by pointing out that the victim here, Ms. Hickman, did testify. She started to talk about replacement value. It was struck at the objection of the defense. And then she said, she was asked, what was the value of them? $300 apiece, $600 total. On cross-examination, it was brought out that that was based on rebuttal. But in Glenn versus Haynes, the Supreme Court talked about the owner of the property is deemed to have knowledge of the value. It doesn't matter where. And the last line, and I want to get this right, and I'm messing up because I've got it in my notes here and I can't find it all of a sudden. But anyway, it's the weight of such testimony is, of course, affected by the owner's knowledge of the value. It goes to the weight. But here you've got Mr. Gill coming in saying the materials to make a new tongue. The materials, not how it gets made, not anything else, but the materials alone to make a new tongue were $265. And I think most importantly in this case, Mr. Gill testified that these items don't depreciate. They don't deteriorate. They're made to sit out in the weather. They're made to survive normal wear and tear. In fact, he said he agreed that, yes, it would take a catastrophe to destroy one of these things. And you have Mrs. Hickman in rebuttal asked by defense, did you plan to move these? Yes, eventually I planned to move them. So clearly she had, if you take those tongues away, she can't move them, she can't sell them. She's stuck with those trailers there.
Or she has to get new tongues manufactured.
Or she has to get new tongues manufactured. They were in perfect condition. They may have had some rust spots on them. But you're talking, and I know this was not admitted testimony, but there was an estimate they were 300 pounds each. I mean, these are large pieces of iron. They're not going to rust through in the lifetime of that trailer. Now, I admit that if a tornado comes through and wipes out those trailers, which they have a certain affinity for, it seems, those tongues then are going to be worthless because they really can't be used by anybody else. But that's not the case. The trailers, at the time of the theft, were capable of being moved. The tongues were in perfect condition. What else are you going to do with it? I mean, what the defense is arguing here is that if I have a prosthetic limb and somebody steals it from me, because that limb is, you know, built to fit me, it has no retail value, it has no value. That's just, that can't be what the court intends to do. That can't be what the Supreme Court has meant by market value. And Judge Humphreys was absolutely correct that in Baylor, this court said there are lots of ways to prove it. You can start with the actual value. You can take actual depreciation tables and look at the value. You can estimate it from there. You can use an expert. Here you've got something that's essentially brand new. And it's going to be good for the life of the... It's going to be good longer than the life of the trailers, more than likely. Trailers just don't seem to last that long. So I think there was... And the question is not, was there, as this court said in Baylor, there wasn't enough evidence for the fact finder to infer that the value of the item stolen was more than $200. Given Mr. Gill's testimony, given Ms. Hickman's testimony, given Mr. Jeter's testimony that they were black items, we know that they were in excellent condition. They were perfectly good. I think there was more than enough evidence here for the court to infer that indeed each item on its own was worth well more than $200. And I think that the evidence was more than sufficient for a reasonable fact finder to find that he was guilty of grand larceny. If there are no further questions, we ask that you affirm the decision.
Thank you, Mr. Warren.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Ward.
It occurs to me that there may be a conflict here of a sorts. How about this? She's entitled to get $300 from Busett. But, you know, as restitution. But that doesn't make it a grand larceny. The basis is still market value at the time they were stolen. In other words, if the judge were to find him guilty of a misdemeanor, sentence him and require him to pay $600 in restitution, maybe that is a conflict, or it sounds kind of like a conflict, but maybe the law needs to be changed. But the law is that at the time they were taken, what is their market value? Not what she has to pay to get new ones, what somebody else would have paid her for.
Well, I think it's one of Mr. Blanton's arguments was essentially that given our jurisprudence from the Supreme Court, an owner is competent to testify as to the value of their stolen
sure.
property.
Agreed.
So you have an owner who says, it's worth $300. Actually, the court has admonished her, don't testify to what somebody else told you, essentially. Don't rely on hearsay. And then she answers the Commonwealth attorney's question by saying the tongues are worth $300. I think it was a piece, if I remember correctly.
Right.
There it is. Now, in cross-examination, you know, you successfully, you know, got her to say, well, that's, I understand that to be the replacement value, or words to that effect. Of course, you have another expert who says the replacement value is actually much more than that, but nonetheless, we're left with this record that says what it says, which is the owner has said $300 a piece, which is over the $200 threshold.
Mm-hmm.
That, it seems to me, that alone, no matter what the source of it, which is for the fact finder to determine you know, how much weight to give that based on how she arrived at that number, that sort of thing. But that's a factual determination, not a legal one from our standpoint. So we're, you know, in other words, Mr. Blanton's argument is she said $300 a piece, you know, that's all you need. Why isn't that all?
My specific question was, you're basing your opinion on basically what you have been told it would cost you to
right.
replace them.
But nonetheless, it's her opinion.
I know. Well, you know, if somebody steals my used Yugo and I say that it's worth $2,000, when you were a prosecutor, you would have laughed at me. I mean, come on. She was certainly was not established as an expert on the value of trailer tongues. I don't know how you would get an expert in this specific situation. Mr. Gill could not say those trailer tongues were worth $525 a piece. He didn't even testify as to what it would cost to make new ones. There's got to be some kind of a foundation for an opinion, something more than just, well, this guy told me that's what it would cost me to replace him, so now my opinion is that's what they cost at the time they were stolen. That's just not good enough. It's not proof beyond a reasonable doubt, certainly.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ward. We'll come down to Greek Council.